Our second scripture reading this morning is Matthew 11, 1 through 6. It can be found on page 965 of your Pew Bible. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." May God share his blessing of this word with you this week.
Thank you, John. It was kind of funny this morning. John said just before the service, "Who's the liturgist this morning?" I said, "You are." "Ooh, I signed up." Pleasant surprise. Thank you. I guess what had kind of inspired the message this morning was an article I'd read about a week ago. And I won't mention who this person is, maybe out of respect for them, but there was a gentleman who was a former author and pastor who renounced his faith in Jesus Christ. Publicly renounced it. He'd recently gone through a divorce. Life had taken some turns that apparently he did not like, and I don't know what the trigger point was, but he renounced his faith. Said, I am not a Christian. I've often wondered if that's even possible after someone has tasted the joy of being in Christ, has tasted the magnificent love of God, and know that God loves us no matter what, in spite of our flaws and despite of what's gone on in our life, despite all the stupid mistakes we do and all the sin we commit, yet God still loves us. I wonder sometimes if some people don't totally understand that. But that being said, I wanted to address a little bit this morning the question, are you sure? You know, are you sure? Is God really God? And is this faith really real? And am I really going to heaven? And is everything going to be taken care of? That kind of a question that maybe comes up from time to time, especially in times of difficulty. You know, what is it that rocks our faith? Oh man, there's a variety of things that rock our faith. Your crisis of the heart, the soul, the mind, the body. Relationship issues can be a crisis, as I think was perhaps part of this gentleman's issues. Sometimes it's a health crisis, our own or someone else's, and we can't handle the news. We can't handle what's going on. Maybe it's the death of a loved one, and that's the last straw. God, how could you take this person from me? Maybe it's just constant bombardment from the enemies of the cross, and you're just so beaten down, you finally say, I give in. Life's twists and turns, they don't fit what we wanted. They don't fit what we expected. They don't fit how we envisioned life to be. And so we blame God, if there is a God. The unfairness of life, suffering, doubt, all those kinds of things can be things that rock our faith. It was once perhaps seemingly kind of solid, and now it's rocked. It's shaken. And it's at that point in time, if we have been people of faith, we say, how do I know that he's going to come through? How do I know that God is going to answer in my time of crisis? How do I know that in this dilemma I'm in, I can ever come out of it? You know, in the Old Testament text, Abram was probably Abram, who actually was Abraham, called later. He had to trust God as God said, you're going to leave everything and go. to a land you don't have any clue about. You're going to leave and go someplace else, but you just have to trust me. It's hard to trust when you don't know. At least for you and I, so many times if you say we were going to move, you could always Google where that place is. Find out what it looks like. See if there's a Culver's restaurant there. Those kind of things, you know. But Abraham didn't have that. Blind faith. Just had to trust God. And he doubted that God would fulfill his promise in the text this morning, even though just previous to that text says that Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. I mean, he doubted. John the Baptist, we just read about him, didn't we? John the Baptist, I mean, he was a great prophet. In fact, after the text read this morning, Jesus even says, the greatest prophet ever, J.B., John the Baptist. Says right there, greatest, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet here was John the Baptist who is now in prison. He was in jail. He perhaps kind of knew what his fate was going to be. It was going to be death, and it was. He perhaps had an inkling what was going on, and now he's asking the question, you know, I was your forerunner, Jesus. I was the one who went on before you. I baptized you in the River Jordan. I preached you. I taught you. I told people about you. This one that was coming after me is greater than me. And I am to become less. And he's to become more. And now I'm in prison. Why would someone who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ be in prison? I mean, you'd think fairness would say, no, not John the Baptist. Not John the Baptist. Just like Paul should never have had that thorn in the flesh because, I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul should never have had to suffer like that. He shouldn't have had to go through all the beatings and all the things. And then I even look at Jesus himself. Huh. What did he have to go through? That horrible suffering that Jesus went through because he loved us so much. How do I know that you're going to come through? How can I be sure that God, you are God, and Jesus, you are Jesus, and that you died for my sin and you rose again, and that no matter what I go through in my life, you're there. You take me through it. Sometimes it seems like you're just not there. Sometimes I pray and it doesn't seem to be there's an answer. Sometimes I just wonder, how could it be so bad? And sometimes I get up the next day and it's even worse. And so you wonder, are you sure? John the Baptist was in prison for standing up to sinful people and proclaiming that Jesus was the one. Would that lead you to wonder whether Jesus was the one when you're treated like that? I'm just asking the question. Because humanly speaking, some of us would respond, well, if Jesus was Jesus and God was God, then why would this happen to me? Why wasn't John the Baptist rescued? Did God fail him? I don't believe so. But we ask those questions. We don't like to ask those questions out loud because then people question our faith. Maybe we're asking the wrong question. Maybe we're asking the wrong question when we're thinking that way. Because you see, in God's word, a life of ease is never promised to believers. It never was said that it would be a bowl of cherries. It was never going to be hot fudge sundaes all the time. The life of ease is not promised. Note Jesus' life. Note John the Baptist's life. Note Paul's life. Note other people of faith in his word. And note that in their lives it wasn't a life of ease. And yet we sometimes think that way. And I've even heard sometimes it preached that way, that you give your life to Christ and, oh, he's going to bless you in those peripheral kind of ways. More money, health, blah, 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 all that stuff. I do believe God blesses those who are faithful, but those blessings don't always come in that way we think of blessings. Those blessings can be peace. A peace that passes all understanding. A joy that no circumstance in life can take away from us. I can still have joy when hard things have happened. I can have a peace when there's chaos going all around me, and I can have peace even when I know just down the road there was a mass shooting. I can still have peace in my heart that God is. And we ask the question, are you sure? I'm sure God is still in control. He's still in control. Sin is the culprit. Not necessarily my own sin. Sometimes it is. I put myself in my own predicament sometimes by my own sin. But it's sin in general. A fallen world. This whole world is affected by sin. The whole world is affected by sin. So it is sin in general that is oftentimes the culprit. The lack of a fix does not equate to God's absence or indifference to your trouble. Let me say that again. The lack of a fix to my predicament does not equate to God's absence or indifference to your trouble. Sometimes we have to go through a valley. And in that valley, we can't see what the outcome is going to be. We can't see what's on the other side of that. All we tend to see is that here and now, that right now is so heavy and so big and so unbearable. I don't know what to do with it. But God just says, trust me. Trust me. I will take you through this. The fix you're looking for is perhaps not what's going to happen at the end, the kind of fix that you want, but I promise you, I will take you through anything and everything that comes your way. Our struggle can be what God uses to bring us to victory. Romans 5, verses 3 and following talks about in Christ, suffering happens. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint us in Christ our Lord. Sometimes those things we just don't comprehend, they look bad and ugly and no good whatsoever. He says, just trust me. In Christ, our struggles can lead and will lead to something good eventually. In Christ, remember, I put that as in the beginning of that statement. In Christ, our struggles will lead to something good eventually. We don't like the word eventually either. I want it to lead to something good right now, within the next 10 minutes, Lord, because I'm hurting right now. But in Christ, our struggles will lead to something eventually good. Romans 8:28. How many times have you heard that from me? Well, you're going to hear that from me till the day I die, because that's one of my life verses. All things work together for the good. To those who love God, they're called according to His purposes. It's a promise. In Christ, understand this too. God doesn't let the devil have final victory. In Christ, the devil doesn't get the final victory. He might win a couple battles here and there. He does not get the final victory. I'm sure of it. Jesus was trying to tell John here in the gospel, when he's actually saying it through his disciples, John's disciples, they came back and told him, but he's saying, look, tell John what's been happening. Tell John what's been happening. Just tell him. And they go back and they tell John. That's all John needed to hear. Why? Because not much was happening in prison, was it? Seeing the evidence, the strong evidence of God's presence and His goodness and His love and His miraculous things and all. You know, in prison, when you're in that valley, when you're in that down, when you're in that out, when you've got the doubts, when all those things are going on, you can't see very well. But John's reminded, he's at work. Doesn't look like it right now in your present situation with the eyes that you see and in the cell that you're in, but God is working. Jesus is out there doing His thing. So yes, you can be sure. You can be sure Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, I encourage us this morning, if you are going through horrible struggles or you have loved ones that are going through horrible struggles and now they're questioning their faith, you're saying, you know what, I don't know if I want anything to do with a God like this. It might be because they're in their own kind of prison and they can't see God working right now because it's ugly. Those four walls don't look good at all. But just like John the Baptist needs reassurance from those who went outside those prison walls and said, oh man, yeah, Jesus is at work, man. He's doing some powerful things. I need, and you need, reminded from time to time, God is at work, and He will be at work in your life. It just may seem like right now He's kind of distant, but He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. Trust in His Word. Trust in His Word because He keeps every promise He ever made. And the moment you and I try to pick and choose His truth, you'll let the seeds of doubt start. The moment you and I try to just go with this and go with that and not take the whole, you know, there's the struggle too. There's the bad times too. There's the things we don't understand too. His Word is the truth, not just bits and pieces of it. See what He has done. Just like John the Baptist felt he needed to be told once again. Jesus speaks for Himself. Folks, I want you to be sure that Jesus is the answer, no matter what your struggle is. No matter how ugly it looks, if you feel like you're in solitary confinement and you can't see anything beyond the walls, God's at work and He will bring you to final victory. Just trust Him and don't let go. Because where else can you put your trust? I'm left with only one sure answer. It's Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for these stories of faith in Your Word. From real people who have real struggles like we have. And even doubted from time to time. And needed reassurance. God, give us that reassurance this morning so that we can be sure that yes, God, You're in control. That yes, God, You sent Your Son. That yes, God, He is the answer. Yes, God, He can give us that peace that passes understanding, that joy unspeakable. And that even when we're going through the hellish kinds of things that sometimes come our way because of sin in this world, that You're there, You'll never leave us, never forsake us, and You'll take us through it all. And remind us that You have a tremendous stake in this as we conclude our time this morning in communion. Remember, Christ died for this. Christ died for us. And He rose again that we could definitely, 100% guaranteed, have victory.